Chapter 37. Two new servants, Mr. and Mrs. Boffin, sat after breakfast in the bower, a prey to prosperity. Mr. Boffin's face denoted care and complication. Many disordered papers were before him, and he looked at them about as hopefully as an innocent civilian might look at a crowd of troops whom he was required at 5 minutes' notice to maneuver and review. He had been engaged in some attempts to make notes of these papers, but being troubled, as men of his stamp often are, with an exceedingly distrustful and corrective thumb, that busy member had so often interposed to smear his notes, that they were little more legible than the various impressions of itself, which blurred his nose and forehead. It is curious to consider, in such a case as Mr. Boffin's, what a cheap article ink is, and how far it may be made to go. As a grain of musk will scent a drawer for many years, and still lose nothing appreciable of its original weight, so a halfpenny worth of ink would blot Mr. Boffin to the roots of his hair, and the calves of his legs, without inscribing a line on the paper before him, or appearing to diminish in the inkstand. Mr. Boffin was in such severe literary difficulties, that his eyes were prominent and fixed, and his breathing was stertorous, when, to the great relief of Mrs. Boffin, who observed these symptoms with alarm, the yard bell rang. "Who's that, I wonder?" " said Mrs. Boffin. Mr. Boffin drew a long breath, laid down his pen, looked at his notes as doubting whether he had the pleasure of their acquaintance, and appeared, on a second perusal of their countenances, to be confirmed in his impression that he had not, when there was announced by the hammer-headed young man, "Mr. Rokesmith." " said Mr. Boffin. "Oh, indeed. Are and the Wilfers' mutual friend, my dear?" "Yes. Ask him to come in." Mr. Rokesmith appeared. "Sit down, sir," said Mr. Boffin, shaking hands with him. "Mrs. Boffin you're already acquainted with." "Well, sir, I am rather unprepared to see you, for, to tell you the truth, I've been so busy with one thing and another, that I've not had time to turn your offer over." That's apology for both of us. "For Mr. Boffin, and for me as well," said the smiling Mrs. Boffin. "But lor, we can talk it over now, can't us?" Mr. Oaksmith bowed, thanked her, and said he hoped so. "Let me see then," resumed Mr. Boffin, with his hand to his chin. "It was secretary that you named, wasn't it?" "I said secretary," assented Mr. Oaksmith. "It rather puzzled me at the time," said Mr. Boffin, "and it rather puzzled me, and Mrs. Boffin when we spoke of it afterwards, because, not to make a mystery of our belief, we have always believed a secretary to be a piece of furniture, mostly of mahogany, lined with green baize or leather, with a lot of little drawers in it. Now, you won't think I take a liberty when I mention that you certainly ain't that." "Certainly not," said Mr. Rokesmith. But he had used the word in the sense of steward. "Why, as to steward, you see," returned Mr. Boffin, with his hand still to his chin, "the odds are that Mrs. Boffin and me may never go upon the water. Being both bad sailors, we should want a steward if we did. But there's generally one provided." Mr. Rokesmith again explained, defining the duties he sought to undertake as those of general superintendent, or manager, or overlooker, or man of business. "Now, for instance, come," said Mr. Boffin, in his pouncing way. "If you entered my employment, what would you do?" "I would keep exact accounts of all the expenditure you sanctioned, Mr. Boffin. I would write your letters, under your direction. I would transact your business with people in your pay or employment. I would," with a glance and a half smile at the table, "arrange your papers," Mr. Boffin rubbed his inky ear, and looked at his wife. apostrophe and so arrange them, as to have them always in order for immediate reference, with a note of the contents of each outside it. Apostrophe, I tell you what, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin, slowly crumpling his own blotted note in his hand. If you will turn to at these present papers, and see what you can make of them, I shall know better what I can make of you. Apostrophe, no sooner said than done. Relinquishing his hat and gloves, Mr. Oaksmith sat down quietly at the table, arranged the open papers into an orderly heap, cast his eyes over each in succession, folded it, docketed it on the outside, laid it in a second heap, and, when that second heap was complete, and the first gone, took from his pocket a piece of string, and tied it together with a remarkably dexterous hand at a running curve and a loop. Good. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin. Very good. Now let us hear what they're all about. Will you be so good? Apostrophe, apostrophe, John Rokesmith read his abstracts aloud. They were all about the new house. Decorator's estimate, so much. Furniture estimate, so much. Estimate for furniture of offices, so much. Coachmaker's estimate, so much. Horse dealer's estimate, so much. Harness maker's estimate, so much. Goldsmith's estimate, so much. Total, so very much. Then came correspondence. Acceptance of Mr. Boffin's offer of such a date, and to such an effect. Rejection of Mr. Boffin's proposal of such a date, and to such an effect. Concerning Mr. Boffin's scheme of such another date to such another effect. All compact and methodical. Apple pie order. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin, after checking off each inscription with his hand, like a man beating time. And whatever you do with your ink, I can't think, for you're as clean as a whistle after it. Now, as to a letter. Let's, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin, rubbing his hands in his pleasantly childish admiration, let's try a letter next. Apostrophe, to whom shall it be addressed, Mr. Boffin? Apostrophe, apostrophe, anyone. Yourself. Apostrophe, Mr. Oaksmith quickly wrote, and then read aloud. Mr. Boffin presents his compliments to Mr. John Rokesmith, and begs to say that he has decided on giving Mr. John Rokesmith a trial in the capacity he desires to fill. Mr. Boffin takes Mr. John Rokesmith at his word, in postponing to some indefinite period the consideration of salary. It is quite understood that Mr. Boffin is in no way committed on that point. Mr. Boffin has merely to add that he relies on Mr. John Rokesmith's assurance that he will be faithful and serviceable. Mr. John Rokesmith will please enter on his duties immediately. Apostrophe, well, now, naughty. Apostrophe, cried Mrs. Boffin, clapping her hands, that is a good one. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Boffin was no less delighted. Indeed, in his own bosom, he regarded both the composition itself and the device that had given birth to it as a very remarkable monument of human ingenuity. And I tell you, my dearie, apostrophe, said Mrs. Boffin, that if you don't close with Mr. Oaksmith now at once, and if you ever go a-muddling yourself again with things never meant nor made for you, you'll have an apoplexy besides iron molding your linen and you'll break my heart. Apostrophe, Mr. Boffin embraced his spouse for these words of wisdom, and then, congratulating John Rokesmith on the brilliancy of his achievements, gave him his hand in pledge of their new relations. So did Mrs. Boffin. Now, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin, who, in his frankness, felt that it did not become him to have a gentleman in his employment 5 minutes, without reposing some confidence in him, you must be let a little more into our affairs, Rokesmith. I mentioned to you, when I made your acquaintance, or I might better say when you made mine, that Mrs. Boffin's inclinations was setting in the way of fashion, but that I didn't know how fashionable we might or might not grow. Well, Mrs. Boffin has carried the day, and we're going in neck and crop for fashion. Apostrophe, I rather inferred that, sir, apostrophe, replied John Rokesmith, apostrophe from the scale on which your new establishment is to be maintained. Apostrophe, yes, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin, it's to be a spanker. The fact is, my literary man named to me, the day house with which he is, as I may say, connected in which he has an interest, apostrophe, as property? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired John Rokesmith. Why no, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin, not exactly that. A sort of a family tie. Apostrophe, association? Apostrophe, apostrophe, the secretary suggested. Ah. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin. Perhaps. Anyhow, he named to me that the house had a board-up, this eminently aristocratic mansion, to be let or sold. Me and Mrs. Boffin went to look at it, and finding it beyond a doubt eminently aristocratic, though a trifle high and dull, which after all may be part of the same thing, took it. My literary man was so friendly as to drop into a charming piece of poetry on that occasion, in which he complimented Mrs. Boffin on coming into possession of how did it go, my dear? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mrs. Boffin replied. The gay and festive scene, the halls of dazzling light. Apostrophe, that's it. And it was made neater by there really being two halls in the house, a front un, and a back un, besides the servants. He likewise dropped into a very pretty piece of poetry to be sure, respecting the extent to which he would be willing to put himself out of the way, to bring Mrs. Boffin round, in case she should ever get low in her spirits in the house. Mrs. Boffin has a wonderful memory. Will you repeat it, my dear? Apostrophe, Mrs. Boffin complied, by reciting the verses in which this obliging offer had been made, exactly as she had received them. I'll tell thee how the maiden wept, Mrs. Boffin, when her true love was slain, ma'am, and how her broken spirit slept, Mrs. Boffin, and never woke again, ma'am. I'll tell thee, if agreeable to Mr. Boffin, how the steed drew nigh, and left his lord afar, and if my tale, which I hope Mr. Boffin might excuse, should make you sigh, I'll strike the light guitar. Apostrophe, correct to the letter. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin. And I consider that the poetry brings us both in a beautiful manner. Apostrophe, the effect of the poem on the secretary, being evidently to astonish him, Mr. Boffin was confirmed in his high opinion of it, and was greatly pleased. Now, you see, Rokesmith, apostrophe, he went on, a literary man with a wooden leg, is liable to jealousy. I shall therefore cast about for comfortable ways and means of not calling up Wex jealousy, but of keeping you in your department, and keeping him in his. Apostrophe, lore. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mrs. Boffin. What I say is, the world's wide enough for all of us. Apostrophe, apostrophe, so it is, my dear, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin, when not literary. But when so, not so. And I am bound to bear in mind that I took Wegg on at a time when I had no thought of being fashionable or of leaving the bower. To let him feel himself anyway slighted now would be to be guilty of a meanness and to act like having one's head turned by the halls of dazzling light, which Lord forbid. Rokesmith, what shall we say about your living in the house? Apostrophe, apostrophe, in this house? Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, no. I have got other plans for this house. In the new house? Apostrophe, that will be as you please, Mr. Boffin. I hold myself quite at your disposal. You know where I live at present. Apostrophe, well. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin, after considering the point. Suppose you keep as you are for the present, and we'll decide by and by. You'll begin to take charge at once of all that's going on in the new house, will you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, most willingly. I will begin this very day. Will you give me the address? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Boffin repeated it, and the secretary wrote it down in his pocketbook. Mrs. Boffin took the opportunity of his being so engaged to get a better observation of his face than she had yet taken. It impressed her in his favor, for she nodded aside to Mr. Boffin, I like him. apostrophe, I will see directly that everything is in train, Mr. Boffin. Apostrophe, thankee. Being here, would you care at all to look round the bower? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I should greatly like it. I have heard so much of its story. Apostrophe, come. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin. And he and Mrs. Boffin led the way. A gloomy house the bower, with sordid signs on it of having been, through its long existence as Harmony Jail, in miserly holding. Bare of paint, bare of paper on the walls, bare of furniture, bare of experience of human life. Whatever is built by man for man's occupation, must, like natural creations, fulfill the intention of its existence, or soon perish. This old house had wasted more from desuetude than it would have wasted from use, 20 years for one. A certain leanness falls upon houses not sufficiently imbued with life, as if they were nourished upon it, which was very noticeable here. The staircase, balustrades, and rails, had a spare look and air of being denuded to the bone which the panels of the walls, and the jambs of the doors and windows also bore. The scanty movables partook of it, save for the cleanliness of the place, the dust into which they were all resolving would have lain thick on the floors, and those, both in color and in grain, were worn like old faces that had kept much alone. The bedroom where the clutching old man had lost his grip on life, was left as he had left it. There was the old grisly four-post bedstead, without hangings, and with a jail-like upper rim of iron and spikes, and there was the old patchwork counterpane. There was the tight-clenched old bureau, receding atop like a bad and secret forehead. There was the cumbersome old table with twisted legs, at the bedside, and there was the box upon it, in which the will had lain. A few old chairs with patchwork covers, under which the more precious stuff to be preserved had slowly lost its quality of color without imparting pleasure to any eye, stood. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.